Welcome back, Chip.
Thanks, Eric.
No problem, man.
Thank you.
It's a new week.
It's a new week.
It's a new book of the Bible.
That's correct. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty exciting. You doing all right?
I'm doing great. I've recovered from my geography lesson with Josh Pugh yesterday.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, geography is good. Very important. I'm sure Josh did a great job with those names.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He really did.
He really
he
nailed
crushed
it, didn't he?
Yeah, he crushed
he
it.
He did. Everybody's talking about it.
I know. They won't stop.
I know.
I actually, I think Allison was, I don't know how far she got in the process, so maybe I shouldn't say anything, but just like getting a parade together out of appreciation.
Oh, well, I like parades.
Yeah.
Josh loves parades.
Yeah, especially in his honor.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And yes, there will be. Allison said this anyway. I don't
she
know.
Did.
Again, she's always saying outlandish things. And sometimes she follows through, sometimes she doesn't. But she did say that there is going to be a giant, like a balloon, like in the Macy's Thanksgiving
Day
parades.
I knew that.
Yeah, yeah. Of Chip and Eric.
Yeah, I've been aware of that. That's pretty exciting.
So
can't wait.
Very good. And she,
that would be pretty exciting. Macy's.
If we were in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. Maybe someday.
Maybe someday.
Oh, here comes Chip and Eric.
Yeah. That's right. All the fans going crazy.
Oh, yeah. They're going nuts. They're
Somebody
going nuts.
Has to make that happen.
And all the marching bands are playing the old Chip and Eric theme.
Yeah. That's right.
That's so good.
Oh, giving out free mugs.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep.
Well, speaking of free mugs, Eric, today is day 85. It is March 25th, and we are going to read Joshua chapter 16, 17, and 18, and we're going to jump ahead to a new book of the Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1.
Okay. Well, the geography continues.
Okay, let's do it.
The land given to Ephraim and West Manasseh. Joshua chapter 16. The allotment for the descendants of Joseph extended from the Jordan River near Jericho, east of the springs of Jericho, through the wilderness and into the hill country of Bethel. From Bethel, that is Luz, it ran over to Ataroth, in the territory of the Archites. Then it descended westward to the territory of the Japhletites, as far as lower Beth Horon, and then to Gezer, and over to the Mediterranean Sea. This was the homeland allocated to the families of Joseph's son, Manasseh and Ephraim.
The land given to Ephraim. The following territory was given to the clans of the tribe of Ephraim. The boundary of their homeland began at Ataroth, Adar in the east. From there it ran to Upper Beth Horon, then on to the Mediterranean Sea. From Michmethath on the north, the boundary curved eastward past Tanath Shiloh to the east of Genoa. From Genoa it turned southward to Ataroth and Nara, touched Jericho and ended at the Jordan River. From Tapua the boundary extended westward, following the Cana Ravine to the Mediterranean Sea. This is the homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Ephraim. In addition, some towns with the surrounding villages and the territory allocated to the half-tribe of Manasseh were set aside for the tribe of Ephraim. They did not drive the Canaanites out of Gezer, however, so the people of Gezer lived as slaves among the people of Ephraim to this day.
The land given to West Manasseh. Joshua chapter 17. The next allotment of land was given to the half-tribe of Manasseh, the descendants of Joseph's older son. Machir, the firstborn son of Manasseh, was the father of Gilead. Because his descendants were experienced soldiers, the regions of Gilead and Bashan on the east side of the Jordan had already been given to them. So the allotment on the west side of the Jordan was for the remaining families within the clans of the tribe of Manasseh, they included Abiezer, Helek, Asriel, Shechem, Hefer, and Shemida. These clans represent the male descendants of Manasseh, son of Joseph. However, Zelophehad, a descendant of Hefer, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, had no sons. He had only daughters, whose names were Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. These women came to Eleazar the priest, Joshua, son of Nun, and the Israelite leaders, and said, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us a grant of land along with the men of our tribe." So Joshua gave them a grant of land along with their uncles, as the Lord had commanded. As a result, Manasseh's total allocation came to 10 parcels of land, in addition to the land of Gilead and Bashan across the Jordan River, because the female descendants of Manasseh received a grant of land along with the male descendants. The land of Gilead was given to the rest of the male descendants of Manasseh. The boundary of the tribe of Manasseh extended from the border of Asher to Michmethath near Shechem. Then the boundary went south from Michmethath to the settlement near the spring of Tappuah. The land surrounding Tappuah belonged to Manasseh, but the town of Tappuah itself, on the border of Manasseh's territory, belonged to the tribe of Ephraim. From the spring of Tappuah, the boundary of Manasseh followed the Cana Ravine to the Mediterranean Sea. Several towns south of the ravine were inside Manasseh's territory, but they actually belonged to the tribe of Ephraim. In general, however, the land south of the ravine belonged to Ephraim, and the land north of the ravine belonged to Manasseh. Manasseh's boundary ran along the northern side of the ravine and ended at the Mediterranean Sea. North of Manasseh was the territory of Asher, and to the east was the territory of Issachar. The following towns within the territory of Issachar and Asher, however, were given to Manasseh: Beth Shan, Ibleam, Dor, that is, Naphoth Dor, Endor, Tanakh, and Megiddo, each with their surrounding settlements. But the descendants of Manasseh were unable to occupy these towns because the Canaanites were determined to stay in that region. Later, however, when the Israelites became strong enough, they forced the Canaanites to work as slaves, but they did not drive them out of the land. The descendants of Joseph came to Joshua and asked, "Why have you given us only one portion of land as our homeland when the Lord has blessed us with so many people?" Joshua replied, "If there are so many of you, and if the hill country of Ephraim is not large enough for you, clear out land for yourselves in the forest where the Perizzites and Rephaites live." The descendants of Joseph responded, "It's true that the hill country is not large enough for us, but all the Canaanites in the lowlands have iron chariots, both those in Beth Shan and its surrounding settlements, and those in the valley of Jezreel. They're too strong for us." Then Joshua said to the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, the descendants of Joseph, "Since you are so large and strong, you will be given more than one portion. The forests of the hill country will be yours as well. Clear as much of the land as you wish, and take possession of its farthest corners, and you will drive out the Canaanites from the valleys too, even though they are strong and have iron chariots."
Joshua chapter 18, the allotments of the remaining land. Now that the land was under Israelite control, the entire community of Israel gathered at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle. But there remained seven tribes who had not yet been allotted their grants of land. Then Joshua asked them, "How long are you going to wait before taking possession of the remaining land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given to you? Select three men from each tribe, and I will send them out to explore the land and map it out. They will then return to me with a written report of their proposed divisions of their new homeland. Let them divide the land into seven sections, excluding Judah's territory in the south and Joseph's territory in the north. And when you record the seven divisions of the land and bring them to me, I will cast sacred lots in the presence of the Lord your God to assign land to each tribe. The Levites, however, will not receive any allotment of land. Their role as priests of the Lord is their allotment. And the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh won't receive any more land, for they have already received their grant of land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them on the east side of the Jordan River." As the men started on their way to map out the land, Joshua commanded them, "Go and explore the land and write a description of it. Then return to me, and I will assign the land to the tribes by casting sacred lots here in the presence of the Lord in Shiloh." The men did as they were told and mapped out the entire territory into seven sections, listing the towns in each section. They made a written record and then returned to Joshua in the camp of Shiloh. And there at Shiloh, Joshua cast sacred lots in the presence of the Lord to determine which tribe should have each section.
The land given to Benjamin. The first allotment of land went to the clans of the tribe of Benjamin. It lay between the territory assigned to the tribes of Judah and Joseph. The northern boundary of Benjamin's land began at the Jordan River, went north of the slope of Jericho, then west through the hill country and the wilderness of Beth Aven. From there, the boundary went south to Luz, that is, Bethel, and proceeded down to Ataroth Adar on the hill that lies south of lower Beth Horon. The boundary then made a turn and swung south along the western edge of the hill facing Beth Horon, ending at the village of Kiriath Baal, that is, Kiriath Jearim, a town belonging to the tribe of Judah. This was the western boundary. The southern boundary began at the outskirts of Kiriath Jearim. From that western point, it ran to the spring at the waters of Nephtoah, and down to the base of the mountain beside the valley of Ben Hinnom at the northern end of the valley of Rephaim. From there, it went down the valley of Hinnom, crossing south of the slope where the Jebusites lived, and continued down to En Rogel. From En Rogel, the boundary proceeded in a northerly direction and came to En Shemesh and went on to Geliloth, which is across from the slopes of Adumim. Then it went down to the stone of Bohan. Bohan was Reuben's son. From there, it passed along the north side of the slope overlooking the Jordan Valley. The border then went down into the valley, ran past the north slope of Beth Hogla, and then ended at the north bay of the Dead Sea, which is the southern end of the Jordan River. This was the southern boundary. The eastern boundary was the Jordan River. These were the boundaries of the homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Benjamin.
The towns given to Benjamin. These were the towns given to the clans of the tribe of Benjamin. Jericho, Beth Hogla, Emek Kaziz, Beth Araba, Zemaraim, Bethel, Avim, Parah, Ophrah, Kephar Ammoni, Ophni, and Geba. 12 towns with the surrounding villages. Also Gibeon, Ramah, Beeroth, Mizpah, Kephira, Moza, Rechem, Repeal, Tarala, Zela, Haleph, and the Jebusite town that is Jerusalem, Gibeah, and Kiriath Jearim, 14 towns with the surrounding villages. This was the homeland allotted to the clans of the tribe of Benjamin.
All right, off we go to 2 Peter chapter 1, starting a new book of the Bible today. Greetings from Peter. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord.
Growing in faith. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know Him, the one called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you'll be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Paying attention to Scripture. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life, so I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I'm gone. For we are not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw His majestic splendor with our own eyes when He received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to Him, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ the morning star shines in our hearts, in your hearts. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, these prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God.
And that is our reading today.
Woo!
Yay, yay.
Quite the reading today.
Boom, boom, boom.
I have said many times that biblical geography is a total blind spot of mine.
Oh.
Like, we read all this, and I get some of the stuff, but I don't know where half these towns are. I know where the Mediterranean Sea is. Mm-hmm. I know where Gaza is. Mm-hmm. I know where the Dead Sea is. Mm-hmm. I know where the Jordan River is.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Okay. Well. Okay. Yeah. Well, hey, good.
So it's a growth area for all of us.
Growth. Growth is good.
Growth is good. Yeah. Anyway, so we read about that with two questions in mind. How does this help us love God more? How does this help us love others more? So, Chipstifer, how does this help you love God more?
I got two things here. I think the first, goes back to Joshua and just I love God more because I'm reminded that God owns the land.
Oh yeah.
He owns everything, but God owns the land. It's mm-hmm. His. He has a right to do what He wants with it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we forget that. You know, we think we own it. It's ours. We do what we want. We can have our way, but God will have His way. It is His land. And it just reminds me that because He owns land, He's the owner of all things, and that He's God. He calls the shots.
Yeah.
I also love Him because He gives us scripture.
Yep.
You yep. know, it's from God to us, and we have access to it to change, you know, our life if we live by it. And He reminds us to, you know, to stand firm in the truth that we've been taught, that we've been given, which is the Word of God. So very grateful for that personally.
Yeah.
And try to, you know, read it and love it and live by it and preach from it.
Yeah.
And so it's just, I love Him more because he did that for us, and we have access to that. So
yeah.
Very grateful.
Yeah. That's a huge part of what we do.
It is.
And that's why we do. Yeah. I mean,
sure.
This podcast is a small part of that, and our ministries are a part of that, and the way we lead our families is part of that. I mean, it's just a huge part of what we do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love that. I love that. How does this help me love others more? You know, I've never read this with that lens on.
Oh.
Okay, how does this help me love others more? How does this help me love others more? And I just think, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence. Mm-hmm. So add moral excellence to your faith. And then add knowledge to your excellence, your moral excellence and your faith. And then add self-control to your knowledge, your moral excellence and your faith. And add patient endurance to your self-control, to your knowledge, to your moral excellence, and to your faith. And then add godliness to your endurance and your self-control and your knowledge and your moral excellence and your faith. And then godliness is supplemented with brotherly affection. Mm-hmm. So I just think there's something, like, all of that is internal, right? Our faith is internal. Mm-hmm. Moral excellence is internal. Knowledge is internal. Self-control is internal. Patient endurance is internal. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly it becomes external.
Yeah.
Brotherly affection and then love for everyone.
That's a good catch.
And I have never thought of that before, about what it takes to get to loving other people. Like, there's a lot of internal work that has to be done before we get to the external work of brotherly affection and loving everyone. And I just think that's awesome. Like, I can be better at loving other people if I do the hard work of mm-hmm. this process. I'm not going to read it again. Just this process that Peter describes.
Yeah, that we go through.
So that I can be better at loving others if I do the hard internal work of those things first, mm-hmm. and then carry that into my relationships, and then I can love others better.
Hmm. Hmm.
So yeah, I've never read this with that lens on before. And that's pretty interesting.
Hmm. That's a good catch. I like that. I wrote that down.
Cool.
Very good.
In pink.
It's, yeah, that's what I have access to, a pink pen. I don't know why I have.
There's a black one right here.
Oh, okay.
No, it's good though. I like
too
that.
Too late. I already have pink. Yes.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. I don't know who's bringing pink pens to my table.
Yes, you do.
I do?
Yeah.
Oh.
Who else?
I don't know.
Me.
Jim, Shanice, Rachel.
It's me.
Rua? Hogla?
Hogla! Hogla.
It's a Lulafad.
That's the Old Testament most eligible bachelorette.
That's right. Can't wait till that show comes out.
Hogla.
Okay. That would be a fun show.
Hogla.
All right, everybody. Thank you. Good job. Way to go.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Until we read again, Eric.
Till we read again.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
I should have just let it be the end.
You should have.